on pause. I didn't even know.
You were?
I've been on pause since I was born.
Is that thing still recording?
Beacon lights, dark veil, I wander far,
far from
thee. Then I cry, O rock of ages, hide thou me. Let's stand together and sing 157. 157, all that will and can. Let's stand.
Here our Heavenly
Father knows all we need before we ask. Here our Heavenly Father knows and He cares.
Here our Heavenly Father sees every sparrow
when it falls. Here our Heavenly Father sees and He cares. Is how they grow and the beauty they display. He is watching over them, for He cares.
When
He waters with the dew, lilies raise their heads anew.
He will do the same for you,
for He cares. When we find ourselves in need, then we to the Father plead. For He is our friend indeed, and He cares.
He'll be watching over us
when we're sleeping in the dust.
And He'll come again for us,
for He cares. We are glad to see everyone here this morning. We thank God for the beautiful song service, for the singing of these hymns that describe the sovereign God and our experiences in the Lord Jesus, and praise and adoration to our Savior, our wonderful friend who sticks close to us, who guides us, who directs our paths, who leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We thank the Lord that He has blessed us with the health and strength to be here this day. We had a wonderful meeting last night. Brother Fussell preached on growing old and the blessings that God bestows upon us in growing old. And I don't know if I've ever heard it just like he put it, but it was really a wonderful message and a lot to ponder and think upon, the things that he brought out last night. But today's a new day. He needs a fresh supply of preaching grace. And we need a fresh supply of hearing grace. And we need to be praying, have been praying, that the Lord will bless him to preach to us and to declare the unsearchable riches of Christ, what we need here at Afton Road Church, and how we need to take heed to the Word, to the Gospel, to the Scriptures. They make us strong if we apply them in our life and trust in the Lord. And we are so thankful that Brother Spencer and Sister Barbara could come and be with us. They're dear friends. We have enjoyed them being in our home and having them there in their fellowship. Brother Spencer, he pastors Bay Springs Church at Montrose, Georgia. It's a little old place. If you close your eyes, you'll pass through it and you don't know. But he has a sweet little group of people there. At the church he and also he pastors Oak Grove Church, so he pastors two churches there in Middle Georgia. I have a few cards I want to read to you. It says, "Dear friends, the basket of pink and white flowers you sent to Mom's funeral were beautiful. We thank you for them and also for your prayers and visits in the hospital following Mom's accident. Your presence at the funeral and the beautiful singing you provided helped us tremendously. Many have spoken to us about what a sweet service it was, complimenting the singing and the preaching. Thank you for the love you have shown Mom through the years. She loved this church more than words can express. Sister Mary Griffin's family. We sure appreciate that card, and it helps us to think about Sister Mary and some of those others that have departed from us, and how we feel such a loss here at Afton Road, how faithful and how loyal she was to the cause and to her God. And we certainly miss her, but we know she's enjoying the presence of Jesus, her Lord and Savior, this very moment. But let's remember, continue to remember the family in our prayers. And I have another card. Dear Afton Road members and Brother Parker, my deep appreciation for the beautiful plant you sent me during my stay in the hospital, for all your visit cards and calls, and most of all your prayers. I love and pray for each of you. Our church means so much to me. I'm thankful for the many continued blessings of our great and loving Father. Continue to pray that I will be able to worship with you so long as I live. Much love, Sister Etta. We're thankful that Sister Etta's much better, and she's recovering, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. Also, Brother M.H. Wanted me to announce that we have enough money to pave the parking lot, thank the Lord. $22,000, and they're going to start on it, I think, maybe week after next. We'll have a new paved job, and we're just thankful for each of you that contributed to that. It means so much to upkeep the building, the surroundings, and the Lord, I believe, is pleased when his people take pride in what the Lord has given us materially. And I try to thank the Lord every day for this spot here in this community. It's a good community. It's a safe community. It's a delightful place. And what makes it so wonderful is that the Lord's people, the church, the saints that walk in light meet here. And we just appreciate every one of you and love you for Jesus' sake. We have several that we know that are in the nursing homes and shut in, and we want to continue to pray for them. Is there anyone that we don't know about or that we need to mention in our prayers this morning? If not, if you'll bow with me, I'll try to word our prayer.
Lord, bless you, brother.
Our blessed Father, eternal, all-wise God, thou who art holy, thou who art righteous, all-wise, all-powerful, we approach under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in this hour and find grace in this time of need. Lord Jesus, we know that thou art there as our intercessor, our mediator, before the throne of God. Lord Jesus, we feel within our hearts that thou art now, even this moment, speaking to the Father in our behalf. For thou art our advocate, and thou art a compassionate and sympathetic and empathetic advocate for thy people as we sojourn here in this old world that is full of sadness, heartache, and sorrow.
Oh, Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy sovereign love that was set upon thy people before the world began. That love that is everlasting and inseparable. That love that is so strong and deep and powerful. That reached down and was inscribed within our hearts and changed us and give us a new nature. We thank thee for the loving kindness that drew us out of the depths of sin and set us upon the solid rock, Jesus Christ. Thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast been our rock and refuge in the midst of the storms and the tempest, that there is a man that we flee to, a man that is always there in heaven to hear our cries and prayers and our petitions. Oh, Father in heaven, we ask that thou be with us this day, this morning. May this meeting be anointed with the Holy Spirit, and that our hearts would be taken away from this world and the things of this world, and our minds would be centered upon thee, and we would just be wafted away from the cares of life that press upon our soul from time to time. And sometimes it's deep, and sometimes it seems that it's so heavy. But Lord, thou hast borne our heaviness and sorrows as we have cast our care upon thee, for thou dost care deeply for thy people. And thou hast not forgotten us when we have walked through the valley, but Jesus has held her hand and been there for us to lean upon underneath of thy everlasting arms. There's not a sorrow, there's not a heartache that is so deep that thy arms are not underneath and lifts us up and helps us and strengthens us as we trust in thee and put our confidence and depend upon thee. O Lord, teach us to trust thee more and more every day of life. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this church, for what she means to us, for the light that she bears in this community, for each soul that makes up this body, and for the witness of the truth that we carry, of thy wonderful grace, thy saving power, the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for sinners. Father in heaven, we ask this morning that thou bless Brother Spencer as he comes to preach to us. Open his mind and loose his tongue that he might speak those things that we need to glorify the Lord Jesus and edify this body. We pray for the sick and the needy, for those that are in trouble at this moment, Lord. There's so many things, so many people that we know that have so many deep problems and troubles, and it just seems sometimes that there's no way out. But there is if we look to thee, Lord, and counsel from thy word. Oh, Lord, there's always grace sufficient to bear us up and help us in this time of need. We ask that thou be with those that have lost loved ones. Be, Father, in our midst. Lord Jesus, walk in the midst of thy churches as thou didst in the seven churches of Asia, in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Father, we ask that thou shine thy face upon us and smile upon us. Help us to be more aware of our service to thee and how we should conduct our lives and how thy people need thee so much. Awaken us in this dark day, seeing so much slothfulness and indifference among thy people. Lord, the churches all across this land, whatever it is that we need to do, lead us to do it and teach us how to do it according to thy word, that we might be revived and there be a refreshing with the presence of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for our nation, our leaders, our president, our military people that are in danger. Deliver us from evil and ungodly tyrants in this world. We'll give thee the praise, honor, and glory, for it's in Jesus' holy, precious, and wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Pray for us.
certainly enjoyed the humble prayer. We enjoyed the song service. We enjoyed the hospitality of your pastor and his dear wife. We cherished our loving fellowship very deeply, and we very, very thankful, I trust, this morning to be able to worship with you here again at Afton Road. Enjoyed our service last evening, but as this your pastor has indicated, it is indeed another day that God must bless his servant to preach the gospel. For it's not within man to preach the gospel. That power is reserved to the God that calls men to preach. And we must recognize that, and the body of the church must recognize that, as well as the man who's preaching must recognize that. If he doesn't recognize it, he'll soon find out in his life that he cannot preach unless God gives him the power to do so. So I hope that you will be in prayer for us. We'll change the direction of our message this morning, a little different from last evening, and yet in some way there is some connection. I'd like to read to you from the Apostle Paul's writing in the second book of Corinthians, in the 13th chapter, verse 5. And I read these words. Here the Apostle Paul says, to examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, the Apostle Paul and the two letters that he wrote to the Corinthian brethren had been very straightforward in addressing the areas of deficiencies that were in those churches and that church and the problems that confronted them. But as he closed out this letter, the apostle tells them that it was needful for them to examine themselves. Examine yourselves. He tells them to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. He tells them to prove their own selves and to know their own selves. And I believe it's important for God's people to do a lot of self-examination. I believe that it's important for us to examine ourselves, not just yearly. You know, sometimes we go to yearly examination to our doctor. But when it comes to the spirituality of God's people, that's to be, a daily examination. God's people are to examine themselves. And what is the purpose for examining oneself is that you may find or determine if there's an area where there needs to be some improvement or whether there's something that needs to be corrected. In the medical profession, we all do know, and doctors practice it, and in the insurance area in the medical profession, they've recognized this because a lot of your insurance companies now will pay all of the costs associated with that of examination. And the importance of having an annual exam in order that you may determine something that may be happening or beginning to happen, that you may correct it before it grows into something much more difficult to handle. And so it's important that we examine ourselves, that we might be able to determine up front if something is about to occur or is happening, that we can prevent it. So in the medical profession, the medical profession practices preventive medicine far greater than they do emergency surgery. They want to prevent something from happening rather than having to do emergency surgery once you have a problem that has to be corrected. And so God's people need to examine themselves. We need to look at ourselves and determine whether there's areas in our lives that need to be corrected. Now, I'm confident that you, like myself, that as you look inwardly, as you look at your life, and you look at the areas in your life, there's none of us that could rise up and grab our lapel and say that I have no room for improvement, that there's no area in my life. I had an aunt one time that was of a different order tell me. She says, there's no sin about me. She says, I live above sin, and when we get to heaven, we'll find out what God has to say about it. Well, I tell you what, we will. My friend, we don't live above sin. We all deal with sin in our lives. If you're not a sinner, don't ever worry about having to make a funeral arrangement because you're never going to die. But because you're a sinner, you are going to leave this world someday. But let's think about this morning. And I want to title this message, and it is a little self-examination. I want us to do a little examining this morning. And it's hard to preach on messages like this because I have to wear the same shoes. I have to apply the message that I preach to myself as well as I present it to you. And so, you ever heard the expression that if everyone in the church was like me, what would the church be like? That's an expression I've heard a lot of times down my way. If everyone was in the church was like me, what would the church be like? Have you ever asked yourself and examined yourselves against and weighed that in the balances of your life to see if everyone in the church was like you? What kind of church would you have? The quality of that church, the sincerity of that church, the level of the spirituality in that church. So this morning, let's look at some areas where we can examine ourselves to see if everyone was like me, how would the church be? But you know something that oftentimes we as the Lord's people forget about. But people ride by Afton Road this morning and they see you gathered here at this church. They see the building, they see the cars, they may see you going into attendance. And the people in this community, in the area that knows Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church, will look upon you this morning and your collective body as that of the body that makes up the church here. And they will judge and look upon you as a group, and you will be viewed as Afton Road membership, and you'll be viewed as the members that make up this church. But you know, we'll leave the church after a while. Later on the day, we'll depart our ways, and we'll go into our communities and our homes and our lives, and tomorrow you're going to your jobs, and you'll go about your ways. And you know what happens then? The people who, as you go about into your daily activities, they don't see the group of collective members that collect, but rather what they see is you individually. You then become Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church in the sense of yourself. People will judge you, and people will determine the church based on your action. They will based on and judge the church based on you. You represent, you stand individually as Afton Road Primitive Baptist Church. I've heard many people say, well, I will never be a member of such and such church because there's somebody there in that church that's a hypocrite. I can't be a member because there's a hypocrite there. And you know what? They're not judging the whole church. They're judging that one person in that church. And that church is standing as an identity for all of the church as a body. So when you leave today, bear in mind that people will judge this body of believers by your life and your action, what you're doing and what you are not doing in your life. So you stand as a testimonial of that of the church that you stand for and you're identified with. So if everybody within the church was like me, and that's something I hope we'll look together individually in our heart. If everyone was like you, how would the church be like? What would it be like? How can we measure that? Let's think of all. First of all, let's look at if everybody was in the church was like me, would they find me loving the Lord as I ought to love him? Would they find the depth of love in my life, in my heart, in my mind that God so requires of me as his child? You know, the Bible tells us that we are to love the Lord with all our hearts, with a loving, with all our soul, with all our mind, and all our strength. That doesn't leave any other area out, does it? It embraces every aspect of our life. The Lord says, thou shalt love me. How? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, thy strength, thy mind, and thy strength. Now, does people identify you as loving the Lord? Can they look at your life and your action and say, I love that individual loves the Lord? His conduct, his ways manifest the fact that he loves God, and it's proven in his life. Or would they say, well, he's sort of mediocre. Yes, he goes to church on Sunday, but there's not a lot of evidence during the weekdays that there's much love relating to the Lord. But you know what makes the strength of a church? It's not the fact that you're going to fill all of these pews with warm bodies.
My friend, what makes the difference in the worship of God and the presence of God's Holy Spirit is with us is whether God's people come prepared in heart and loving their God with all their heart and with all their mind and their soul and their strength. And there is no exception for that this morning. We're to come and love Him. Why? Because He loves us. And I'm not telling you if you don't love God to muster up that love, but if you love God, it's because He's first loved you. You know that? If you love the Lord, the Lord has loved you first. And if you love, and if He loves you, and you bear that love in your heart, you've got a responsibility to examine yourself to see whether you that love is getting cold. Don't tell me that a person can't fall out of love. They can. That love can become dormant. The apostle one of the seven churches of Asia in the second chapter of Revelation tells us about that of the church at Ephesus. How they left what? Their first love. They left their first love. A marriage can become cold and dormant. A man and a woman cannot examine themselves, cannot properly exercise and show the love one to the other. They ought to. That love will become dormant. And God's people who love the Lord can allow their minds to become, fall out of love. They can lose that they are. The zeal and the fire that they once bore in their hearts for the Lord, and they can become cold. Now, as you look at your heart and you look at your mind and you look at your strength, how is it this morning? Now, are you sitting here in this pew and your heart is filled with love and devotion to the Lord? Do you love Him? Do you cherish Him? Is He the most important thing in all of your life? You know, He ought to be. That's more than mama, daddy, husband, or wife, or children in this world. You ought to love the Lord above everything else in this world. Why? Because He deserves our love for what He's done for us. We ought to love Him. If everybody in the church loved the Lord like me, how would the church be filled? Would it be filled with people who are zealous for the Lord and can feel the warmth of His love? Some of you sisters last night talked about how God has been so good to you. I could feel the warmth of that love that you had for the Lord and how He had blessed your life and how much you cherished Him and how that you long when it comes your time to part this world to look upon His face in glory and say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings. But do you love Him? Or have you become so involved with the cares of this life that you've allowed that love to become inactive in your life? Do you just simply show up and sit on the pew, and yet the heart is the refrigerator that's become cold, and your mind is on the things of the world and the things that you'll do when you leave the building today, the things that you'll do tomorrow, next week? Or are you sitting in the pew this morning and the fire that burns deep in your soul, deep down in your heart, is a love for the God in whom you live, move, and have your being. And you want to thank Him. And you want to say to Him, Lord, thank you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you blessed me to see in the house, the clothes on my back, the shoes on my feet. Thank you for the provisions you provide for me and my little family. Thank you for the blessings in my life. And most of all, Lord, thank you for allowing me to love you and to know you and to have a hope in me that's an anchor to my soul, to have within me that desire one day when life will close out its doors to me, I'll be able to live with you in glory, have that warmth in our heart. Do we have that for Him this morning? You know what that makes a difference? That makes a difference in how hard it is to get up and come to church this morning. If you truly love the Lord as you ought to, it's not a problem come to church. You know that? It's a pleasure. Amen. It's a joy to come to the house of God when you love somebody. Brother Danny, this morning, he's trying to make me, I think he's about to make me feel a little bad this morning. He's telling me about getting up in the morning. I hope he don't mind me telling. Gets up in the morning while Sister Karen getting ready to go to work, and he goes in and fixes some breakfast for her and has it ready for her before she goes to leave. I don't think it's no burden on him to do that because he loves her. He loves her and he wants to manifest that love for her and show her that love. And my friends, when we love God as we ought to love God, it's a joy. You can't wait to come to the house of God. Because you know why? God has promised to meet with you here when you come. If you come as you ought to come, the Lord says, I'll be in your midst. Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. So we love the Lord as we ought to love him. Do I love the Lord as I ought? If everybody in the church was like me, would the church be filled with people who love the Lord as we ought to love him? If not, may God help us to examine ourselves and see that we need to refocus our affection and attention towards him who deserves all of the love and its affection that can be given him. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that we can't love God without loving his children. It's impossible to love the Lord without loving his children. If you love the Lord, you're going to have to love his children. And if you're foolish enough to think that you can say that you love the Lord and you don't care about his children, then there's a problem there. You're going to serve God not by just showing up and sitting on the pew and wearing an outfit that may be nice and presentable. You're going to show your love to God through the things that you do for one another and the love you have for one another. I've been to churches, brother, your pastor's been to churches where I have felt that the love in that church was as cold as an icebox. And you know what's going to find that's going to happen? When you find that, you're going to find where the Lord is not manifesting his presence. The Spirit and the power and the warmth of the Holy Spirit is not there. Because the love for God's people, for one another, is not there. And when they don't love one another, they don't love him as they ought. And so I asked the question, if everybody was in the church was like me, how would the church be? Would it be filled with people who love one another? Would it be filled with people who care about one another? The kingdom of God is to be filled with people who are caring and sharing and loving one another and concerned about one another. We're to love one another because what? The same blood it took to wash your sins that you would be able to live with him in glory, it took that blood to cleanse the sins of your brothers and sisters. We're all in the family of God. We have been chosen in Christ. We have been given to the Lord, and the Lord, our Savior, died on that cross and carried us our sins to that cross, and he washed our sins in that covenant blood, and the entire family of God, my friend, is secured and in that blood. And we're going to live with him in glory because of what he's done for us. And as much as he's done for us, he says that we are to love him, and if we love him, we're to love one another. Inasmuch as you've done it unto the least in Matthew 25, and as much as you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, what? You have done it how? Unto me. The things you do unto the Lord, you'll do it through the things you do for one another. The service you render to one another, you'll render it, and that's rendering it unto the Lord. And so would the church be filled with people who love one another? You're to love one another. You're to care about one another. The Paul says to greet one another with a holy kiss. We're to look forward to seeing one another. I'll tell you what, the main purpose of coming here this morning is to worship God. And my friends, this secondly, is to be able to gather with those of our like faith and order, those who are blood bought and blood heaven bound, those who believe as we believe that salvation is by the grace of God. And we come together as a body and we love one another and we show that love not just on Sunday morning but on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and every other day of the week when there's a need in the life of God's people. We must be concerned about one another. We must prove and show that love in our lives daily and showing care. It may be a phone call. It may be a cooking something to bring to someone. It may be visiting that person that's in the hospital. But if a church, if we're the church is going to be like it ought to be, it's going to be a body united with love one to the other, motivated by the love they have for their God and their Creator and their Savior, and gather and love one another and be united and care about one another. Can that be said about you? Do you love God's people? Or you love money, home, lives, prestige? You love something else in the world greater. You don't have time to concern yourself with one another. Don't have time to call. Don't have time to visit. Don't have time to send a card. Don't have time all because I got too much to do. I found a long time to go. We can most of us do what we want to do, that which is most important to us. But if everybody in the church was like me, would it be a church filled with somebody who loves God's people, reaching out to help one another, care for one another? Would we love one another's world? The church is made up of sinners. No such thing as a perfect church. Why? Because we are sinners. There'll never be a perfect church, a perfected church. The church is triumph is perfected in that of the blood of Christ. It's been washed, that we've been cleansed. But far as the militant church here on the earth, if somebody's looking for a church that doesn't have problems in it or doesn't have some imperfection, then you're not going to find it. There's no such thing, because we're made up of sinners. But the church is here on the earth for God's people to gather themselves together to worship God, praise Him. That could have been out here on this asphalt parking lot. That could have been in this beautiful building that God has blessed you to have. God is not limited to the building we're in. Sometimes people get the idea that we have to spend $5 million and put a steeple taller than anyone else in the county in order to feel like God is blessing. That's never a judge whether God is blessing an organization or not. God is not limited to such things. But what God is, my friend, is when God's people love one another and they love Him, and they desire to worship Him, God will meet with us wherever we may meet. Now, if everybody was in the church like you, when the appointed time of worship was set, could the church be dependable? I mean, will you be dependable, or could the rest of the body could expect that you're going to be there? Am I faithful in attendance to the church that I say I love? Am I there when the opportunity gives me to worship Him and praise Him? Or do I allow other things in my life to come to have more precedence over that of the assembly of the saints of God? We mentioned last night one of the benefits of old age is that you have an opportunity to feast one more meal. For every service God blesses you to have, that's another opportunity you can gather food and what you need to feed the inward man that you won't obtain anywhere else out in the world. But can I be dependable? Can the church expect me to be there when the time of worship is set? Can it be said that they don't have to worry where so-and-so Brother Fussell will be there or not? If I can, or will we allow family reunion? Now, I don't know how y'all feel about it up here, but y'all may get on to me after church, but allow family activities and functions to come before that of the service of God. Let me tell you, my brethren and sister, let's set priorities in order. When it comes to that of the worship of God, there is nothing in this world that carries greater precedence and more importance than God's people being in the house of God when you have that opportunity. If you think that, I want you to know that there's something else more important. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your children, your activities, there's nothing in this world more important than serving, worshiping God. Because you know, there's coming a day when you're going to attend your last service. There'll come a day when you'll attend the last service. The day may be the last service you may ever have on this earth. That may sound realistic, but that's what it is. It is realistic. I may never live to attend another service. This may be your last service you'll ever attend on this earth. I pray that you'll have the privilege of many, many others. But Satan comes along and tells us, well, it doesn't really matter. There's about 40, 50 folks attend there. And if I miss today, it really wouldn't matter. It does matter, brethren and sister. It matters whether you're in attendance or not. If you're able to attend, you need to be in the house of God. Because let me just weigh this. If everybody was like me in attendance, how would the church be? If you're able to miss the service of God, do you realize that, brother, your pastor would stand up and preach to a bunch of empty pews? If you say, I'm going to miss church today, he got there, he wouldn't have nothing but a bunch of empty pews to preach to. If everybody was like me and I didn't put the importance in attendance that I ought to, it may end up that there would not be a single person there for him to preach to. And you know something I found, and I still may do that one, I may do this one day. And I put myself close to it, because the folks I try to pastor, they know I get after them, I stay on the trail pretty closely. But I've said, I'm great mind just not to come to church and go and fill another appointment somewhere and not tell them I'm going. And you know what? They would rake me over. They would roast me. I know they would talk about me. I wouldn't have a bit. They'd tar and feather me and run me out of Lawrence County, Georgia.
Amen.
And you know what? One of them can miss and they don't even take time to tell you where they went to. Well, what's the difference? Ain't no difference, folks. Ain't no difference. And so it's just as important as for Brother Dan to be here. It's just as important for you to be here. You're to be in the house of God when the time of worship is appointed for the church. And you're to be here ready to praise God with a songbook in your hand and ready to start singing when the time appointed to sing. Be there, be counted, be ready to put all the effort you can into the service of God. But is everybody like me? Could we expect? You know, we're creatures of habit. I don't know where all you normally come. I know where some of those of you that were here last night, you're sitting in the same place you were last night. You know why? Because we're creatures of habit. When you come into this building, most of you are going to go to the same spot you sit at every single week. Unless somebody has come in and got it, and then you probably feel a little ruffled that they got your spot. Because you want to sit there. We're creatures of habit. And I'm standing in the pulpit in my congregation. I don't need to have to wonder whether they're there. I can see whether the spot is empty or not. I know that that spot's empty. And I'll tell you what. There ain't nobody in the world. Listen to me, my friend. There is nobody in the world can fill your spot but you. That's only. Somebody else may sit there, but they are not you. You're the only one that can fill that spot. So when it comes to the church of God, if everybody was like me, would the church, the membership of that church be dependable that they're going to be there? We ought to attend our services. There's nothing, beloved, in this world that carries more benefit, more blessing, more value, and you get as much out of as you do a spirit-filled service in the house of God. You believe that? I hope I can see some affirmatives there with that. There's nothing pays the benefits that the child of God can receive as he receives from the worship of God, because it is a blessing that we can't hardly describe, the blessings of it. But can you be counted on to be there in attendance? Another area. It's important. We mentioned last night old age, benefit of old age. You have an opportunity to pray more. Another day to talk to the Lord. But I believe that, and I've seen it too many times, I can tell in my congregation, and I say, let me back that up, I beg God's forgiveness. The church is not my church and it's not my congregation. But those that I preach to, they're the Lord's church. It's the Lord's church and it's the Lord's children. But the congregations that I preach to, I can tell when they are praying as they ought to be praying. You can feel the power of that prayer. And I'll tell you what, when people are praying in the pews, there's going to be fire in the pulpits. I can tell you. If everybody was like you, would it be found that God would bless the message to the comfort of his people? Would you be found praying, Lord? We're but small, and we're not a lot of folks. And I know our strength, Lord, is not in the number that we have. And it never has and it never will be, but our strength is in thee. Our power is in thee and our love for thee. Lord, bless us. Our number may be dwindling, but help us, Lord. Help us to know, to do what we're able to do, to know that thou art able to touch the heart. Thou who can make an ass to speak and a bird to feed a servant, a fish to swallow a man, a rooster to crow. When you give it to note the crow, to know, Lord, that there's nothing impossible with you. All things with you are possible. Help me, Lord, that I pray for the cause of Christ.
Help me to pray for my pastor. Help me to pray for my brother and sister in Christ. Pray, Lord, that you'll send forth your spirit in our service, that we'll feel that power and that warmth there. Stir the hearts of those in our congregation who may have come dormant to the things of thee, those who attend and have turned their backs from week to week to their duty, responsibility, the cause of Christ, that they'll see the importance of taking up their cross and publicly confessing you before men. Be praying for the kingdom of God. Would everybody in the church like me, would they be filled with people who are praying for the cause of Christ on this earth, praying, constantly praying, praying without ceasing, praying that God would bless our meeting for the growth of the church, for the strength of the church? Would I be a praying individual? Do you pray for the church? Do you pray for your pastor? Do you pray for the things that are needful? And I'll tell you what, I believe, as I indicated last night, I believe in the power of prayer. There's no power on the earth stronger than the power of prayer when God's people are fervently praying. If you want things differently in your church, you want things differently in your life, you turn your heart and your mind to the Lord. Pray that God will bless you. But would the church be filled with praying people? Because when you got a church filled with praying people, you got a church filled where God will answer those prayers and he'll manifest his presence. I have seen that it's very many times very difficult to preach to folks because, as I mentioned last night, that sometimes we don't have the appetite like we ought to have, talking about the black-eyed peas and another meal to be able to eat. A lot of times in our discussion with our ministry today, they say it's very difficult to preach to our people today because they're not moved with the Spirit. I mean, they're not moved with the preaching as they have in days past. Well, I hear some powerful preaching. And I wonder why that preaching is not as effective as it has been maybe in days past. And the reason is that I think maybe the appetite of the people there is not as hungry for the Word of God as they once have been. If everybody in the church was like me, would that church be filled with individuals who come with a great desire and a hungering to be fed with that manna from on high? To hear that gospel preached? To hear those words that are cool, thirsty drink to your... To hear the word that provides a cool drink to your thirsty soul? Do you desire that God would once more enable you to hear the gospel preached? Oh, you say, well, I get tired of hearing salvation by grace. I get tired of hearing this, and I get tired of hearing that. My friends, the problem is not with the message. It's not with the subject matter. But it's with our ability to comprehend and desire to hear those things and want those things in our lives. God's people can feed on the wrong things in this world. We can feed on things that we think sustaining us, but they're not. And we can hew to ourselves citrons that are broken citrons that are holding no water. God's people who are really hungry and thirsting as they ought, I'll tell you what, you won't get tired of hearing salvation by the grace of God. You won't get tired of hearing how that your Savior loved you and how he died for you. You won't get tired of hearing that grand old message of how God loved you with that everlasting love. And that time Christ came and lived on the earth for 33.5 years. And he laid down his life and he carried your sin to the cross. You won't get tired of that if we've got the appetite as we ought to. Do you rise in the morning and you think about the day and you say, Lord, thank you for this day. I don't know what the day may hold, but I know that you hold the day before me. And regardless of how things may be, I know that there is a better day coming. As we sing the hymn, what a day that shall be. If everybody was like me, would the church be filled with people who desire to be fed from the Word of God? To their desire, rather than watching as the world turns and upside down and whatever may be on television,
that the desire to read the Word of God that you may know more about Him. That when your pastor preaches to you, that you're able to discern and rightly divide the Word of God, that you may know whether he's preaching the truth or not. And I'm glad you've got a faithful pastor here, that you don't have to worry about that. But does you have that appetite that you ought to have? If everybody in the church was like you, would they have that desire, that I have an appetite that they ought to have? Very quickly, let's run through a few more things. If everybody in the church was like me, would they be concerned about the building and the upkeep of the building? I'm glad, as your pastor mentioned, you're fixing to pave your lot. That's commendable to you. But I've been to churches where it's obvious they care more about their own homes than they care about the house of God, and that's a disgrace and a shame to the cause of Christ. God's people are, we're not to try to compete with the shingle down the door that calls himself to be a Christian organization. We're not in a competitive mode with the world's religion. But God's people are to keep their house, the place of worship comparable to what the home they live in. Do you think about the building? What can I do? Can I nothing more than rake the yards or sweep the yards? Or do I think about the house of God and what others might think that may travel by my road where I say that I love my Lord and worship him at? Do you think about the building? Do you think about the welfare of the building and whether it's up in the ground that's kept up? If everybody in the building, what if everybody... If everybody took a non-caring attitude, you know what happened? The building would soon, the windows would be filled with spider webs. The floor would become dirty. The paint would fall. The brick would become tarnished. And it would become obvious that there was a great neglect. But do you love the place where God has promised to meet with you at? And that you're willing to keep that building up? If everybody in the church was like me, would they find in our treasury adequate funds to take care of the needs of the church? Would they find me supporting the cause of Christ to the level that God has blessed my life with? God has never required you to give more than he's blessed you with, but he's only required you to give according as he has blessed you. Would you be ashamed this morning if that which you contribute to support the greatest cause on the face of the earth was shown on a screen behind my head? Would you bow your head in shame and say, in view of that which God has so wonderfully blessed me with, I've given such a little amount to the cause of Christ on the earth? Many people will spend far more money in a single vacation in 1 year than they'll give to the cause of Christ for the entire service, the entire year, and that's an abomination in the eyes of God. Do we support? Would there be enough money? Would there be enough means to take care of the house of God? Not just to take care of your pastor and to keep up a building ground, but the church has a responsibility to have funds to take care of those within its ranks, to help those in the community as an outreach where you can reach out and help those of others. The church is to be a light in the community in which it lives. Or would you be ashamed if everybody like me, there wouldn't be enough to even keep up the monthly utility bills, not less, to take care of the pastor and the other things? Only you can answer that question. Some years ago, and I'm sure it was here in this area, a man's handshake was his bond, wasn't it? You didn't have to have legal documents now that 10 or 15 pages long that when you read it, you don't know what you've read when you get through reading it. You have to be a lawyer to understand what's in a document. Even to buy a piece of land or to buy something, there's long legal documents that binds us in our contract one for the other. Because what? In days past, a man's handshake was his bond. Many a transaction, most of the land in our country in our early days was transacted and changed hand from one to the other simply by a handshake saying what they would do for the other. And a man's word was his bond. Do you believe today that a man or a woman's word should be their bond? I do. Why? Because God's word teaches us his word is his bond.
Do you believe what the Lord tells us in his word is true, that it will be kept, he's going to keep his word? We have no reason to doubt it, don't we? Because everything God has ever promised us, he will keep. He will keep his word as his bond. He has never, we don't have to worry about when we read the word of God, wondering whether it will be come to pass or whether the Lord will keep his promise to us. Because all of his promises are in him, both yea and amen. He's going to keep his word. But can that be said about us? If everybody in the church was like me, could people depend upon my word when I say that I'm going to do? If I say I'm going to be there, I'm saying I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, could they depend upon me? We're living in a day when people will tell you one thing and they absolutely care nothing about keeping their word. That's sad, my friend, that our culture and our credibility and our desire to be our word being our bond and doing what we say in our lives. God's people, when we say we're going to do something, we ought to be found doing it. You young people in this congregation today, if you don't receive anything else from what I say to you today, when you leave here today, whatever you tell your friends, whatever you tell your folks, that you're going to do, find yourself doing or letting them know why you can't do it. Because you are no better than your word, my friend. Our word is our bond, and it should be. The word of God is the bond. It is that which we can depend upon because God said it, and it's solid, and it's going to happen. Our word is our bond. But if everybody in the church was like me, would my word be dependable? Could they rely upon what I say? Would it be filled with people who we didn't have to wonder or question their sincerity in what they say and what they do? Our word is our, should be our bond. If everybody in the church was like me, with the moral values, the ethical values that I hold in my heart, would it be sufficient? Would it be supported by the word of God? My conduct in my neighborhoods, in my lives, in the communities where I live, would it be filled with people who are seeking morally to stand upon God's word, not upon what men may think? Or am I persuaded by that of men and the ways of men and my conduct and my action? That others say it's okay to steal, well, I might can steal a little bit and it won't make any difference. Others might say, well, it's okay for me to do this or do that, and yet God's word says it's not. If everybody was like me, would it be filled with people whose lives are conforming to the word of God morally and ethically? Or could it be filled with people who smile on Sunday and yet turn their back on God's word on Monday? It shouldn't be. Not saying that it is, but just something for us to guide our thoughts by. And then quickly, lastly, and I say this, and I don't know the congregation that I'm speaking to this morning, but some of you. But I feel confident there may be some here and under my voice that hasn't united with the church here at Afton Road. You've loved the church, you've shown it in your life, and you may not have, as of yet, taking up your cross to follow him. Have you ever stopped and thought that if everybody was like you and taking that attitude and taking that position, there wouldn't be a church here? There wouldn't be a place for you to come here to? Because there wouldn't be a member here. There wouldn't be a single member here if everybody rebelled against the Spirit of God like maybe you have done, and you said, Lord, I'm not going to be a member of that church. You know, if everybody took that attitude, there wouldn't be no member. The church would soon be gone. The future of the church is going to be made up of those who publicly confess their faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized as Christ instructed the church to baptize. If you're under my voice this morning and you've entertained a thought in your mind, I know I ought to join the church. I know I ought to be a member of the church. But I'll just wait till another day. I'll wait till I get older. I'll wait to a more convenient time. I'll wait till the opportunity avails itself more. And you know what happens with that? Time rolls on. And where you may have once made it as a young person, You soon find yourself old and gray-headed and feeble, and you still haven't done what God has told you to do. If you love the church, you love the Lord, you have a responsibility to unite with the church that He's blessed you to see and to be a part and to be a attend. The church needs you, and you need the church, because there is no greater blessing, no stability in the life of a child of God than to have the blessing and the strength of the gospel church in the world. If you this morning have hardened your heart from time after time, and you haven't joined the church, you're not going to have another day, better day than today. You may have another day, or you may not, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to state reality. That if everybody was like you, and they never would join the church, you would soon find this church wouldn't be here for you to attend anymore. The church wouldn't be here any longer. It would soon die out. This church will die out if everybody in attendance who are here or not members refuses in their heart to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. It will come a day when it will cease to exist. If everybody takes the position of like you, if you're not a member, and you say that I will not, then you can expect at some point this church will cease to exist. May God help us to examine ourselves. May the Lord help us to prove ourselves. May the Lord enable us to ask ourselves the question, if everybody in the church was like me, how would the church be? May we carry that in our minds and our hearts, and may it motivate and direct our conduct and our actions and the way we serve God and one another while we live here on the earth. It indeed has been a pleasure to be with you. This message that we brought for you this morning, not being brought because if I feel these things are there, I've learned a long time ago, a man must preach what God, he feels that the Lord places on his heart. It's been a pleasure to be with you. We love you, and we thank you for having us here with us, with you. And it is our prayer that God will bless you now and in the coming days. And I know that He will, as long as you look to Him. God bless you.
Brother Spencer's certainly been blessed to preach to us those wonderful truths about God's love for us, to us, and our love for Him and to one another. And that's very, very important. It is so important the existence of the church rests upon our love for one another and to the Lord. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Right. You know, that love, not only when we're, you know, together here, but I mean to exhibit that love for people, caring, attitude. Love is the greatest thing this world has ever known. And Brother Spencer said it so wonderfully and forcefully. And, you know, this church has a name. He does. It has a name for loving one another.
Yeah.
Brother Dan Bryant, he told me, he went home and told the church there at Macon, he said he'd never been with a more loving, affectionate group. Some of them got upset with him. Well, they shouldn't have got upset. They should have just put in practice, you know, to have more affection and love there. But you know, we can always improve ourselves. I know when I can. I got a lot of room.
Yeah, me too.
But what wonderful instructions that were given to us, because our churches all across this country, they're dwindling. They're not as vibrant or active as they once were. And it's got to be some problem. It lies within the body. It lies within us. In some way, somehow. There's got got to be a change, got to be a turnaround, that the Lord would be pleased to bless the church like he has in ages past and gone, that I can remember as growing up in the church. But you know, the Lord has promised that he will add to us such as should be saved. If you're here, you love the cause of Christ, you say number 266. 266 chairs. The opportunity to shake hands with Brother Spencer and one another and have everybody that can stay with us for lunch. We have plenty of food and we want you to stay on and have that sweet fellowship one with another. Love is the greatest thing. Love